Great Hope Church. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Good to see you today. God bless you. Are you glad to be in the house of God? I said, are you glad to be in the house of God?
Yeah.
Welcome to this first service. Are you enjoying this weather change? What is up? How beautiful is it? You know what I mean? And then it's supposed to have an ice storm, I think, Thursday. So I think it's going to get, you know, if you're been around St. Louis long enough, you realize that our weather patterns, our seasons change quickly, do they not?
Yes.
But on the practical side of life, you have seasons. And maybe you're going through a cold, stormy season. And we've encouraged you through this season or through this series not to be in the mindset where this is all that it can be or to be stuck in that season. Because God has a way of turning seasons quickly. The seasons of God are not based upon a calendar. It's not that if I endure long enough, eventually. And that's true too in a sense, but you have a part of the process that you can make that season shorter because the seasons of God are changed by the revelations from God. That's why we should be open to hear from God because God can speak to you through his word. And as that word becomes alive to you, it begins to open and unlock for you a new season for you. Amen. And you might be in a season of warm sunshine, celebration. This is great. And we encourage you to celebrate, be thankful for that. But also don't forget that that's not the end. God still wants you to keep moving forward, all right? He's got something better. And you might think, well, I'm comfortable, I'm happy. And, you know, comfort can be a dangerous season for some of us. Because you get too comfortable, you lose your hunger for what God has ahead of you. You know what I mean? You can get too comfortable about what God has done that you'll miss out on what God wants to do in your life. Come on, somebody. And so we have to learn to keep our eye on the prize, Paul said. Can you imagine if Paul said, man, that last book I wrote, woo, that's a good letter. That's going to help a lot of people. I'm not going to write any more. We'd miss out on what God was trying to say. See, your last blessing or your last victory or your last miracle shouldn't be the last. God still has something in store for you. God still is working out stuff to bring you along, not only for your benefit, but literally when you get into this more and more with the things of God, you realize it's just not for your benefit, but it's also for the benefit of other people. That's Jesus was talking about when he said, listen, if you want to keep your life for yourself, if life is all about you, at the end, you're going to be very unhappy.
Right.
That's Greg Bruce's translation. Challenge everything with the word of God, though.
Yeah.
When life is just self-centered about me, 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 and I'm happy, I guess I'm just going to put it on autopilot right now, then you're really, at the end, going to be coming out with less and not too happy and fulfilled.
Right.
But when you find out life's about, God, what do you want me to do? You'll find that there is a level of success, a level of fulfillment, a level of satisfaction in your life that only comes from knowing that you are doing what God wants you to do and you're helping other people. Now, if that is totally foreign to you, God still loves you, we still love you, but there literally is a whole nother journey that God has for you. And maybe you've been trying and struggling, as many people do in the world. You struggle and fight and scrap trying to just be happy. And if we can't do it, we'll act like we're happy to come because we want to be around certain people who look like they're happy. And so we'll act like we know those people so we can feel like we're happy. But at the end of the day, when you lay your head on your pillow, you're still empty, wanting. That's not the way God wanted life to be. He has something amazing for each and every one of us. Jeremiah says he knows the plans he has for you. Jesus said the Father sees a bird fall from the air, and he knows you. You are more important than a little bird, and if he watches everything that happens to a little bird, how much more to you? He's even numbered the hairs on your head, not just the person sitting next to you. He even knows if you shaved your head where they should be. Come on, somebody. He knows the details. Your Heavenly Father loves you. He has plans for you. And whatever season you're in, let's keep moving forward because God has a way of bringing newness.
Amen.
That newness doesn't always mean a replacement of something, which is the way in our life, in our world, that's all we know is new is I got a new outfit, I got new shoes, I got a new car, I got rid of the old, got a new, I got a new marriage. Come on, somebody. We don't want to go down that road. And so that's how we define newness a lot of times. But God has a level of life, John 10:10, that is a level of his life, his quality of life, his quality of life. See, we saw in Revelation 21:5 that God says, behold, I can make all things new. God can for anyone, anywhere, any place bring newness, his life, into your life.
Yes.
We saw that out of 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, that newness comes out of our relationship and our experience with him. And Galatians 6, verse 4 talks about it's a newness of life, a new life, a newness of life, that it's a rhythm. It's just not I was saved 23 years ago, and I experienced his life then, and after that, it's been kind of going downhill since. No. It's a quality of life.
Yeah.
Say quality.
Quality.
Say quality.
Quality.
You know, in a world who defines quality by quantity, God says, I'll show you quality with or without quantity. Because you can have quality now before you even have the quantity.
Right.
People spend their whole life trying to get the money. And God, once you're blessed, God doesn't mind you having stuff as long as stuff don't have you.
Right.
God wants you blessed. God wants you successful. But you know, there's a lot of people in the world, if you study them long enough, you'll see that those who have a lot of money and those who are famous or those who are powerful, and if you study them, not all of them are happy.
Right.
They have what the world says is success, but they're stressed out. Hooked on all kinds of pharmaceuticals. Overwhelmed, empty. Why? That's not success. That's not success. And so God wants to bring quality of success in your life, even on the journey to the quantity of success. Do you see the difference? This is not God wants you to be failure. No. God wants you to be success. But if you do it the world's way, you'll think that's defined purely by the quantity. If I only had $1 million, I'd be happy. Well, I know people with $1 million still very unhappy. Why? Because more is not always better. More with God is better. Did you hear me? It's getting quiet on me. So in the journey, God brings the freshness, quality of life, newness of his life into your life. So wherever you're at on the journey, even when you are going through a battle, you can tap into what God has for you. So, and that will help you break through to the next season. See, we always talk about David who chased Goliath. He went after Goliath, right? We talk about David releasing that stone. We could talk about David standing up to Goliath. We could talk about that whole process. But what a lot of times we forget is that David tapped into where he was going to deal with where he was at.
Right.
You say, how do you see that? Well, before David ever faced Goliath, David was before Prophet Samuel, and David was anointed to be king. The kingdom was ahead of him. But before he got to his kingdom, his future, God had placed within him the anointing for the future. Stick with me. See, when he was anointed, he had to go back to the sheep. So he didn't get to go to the palace. But the palace was in his future. Say, the palace was in his future. Stick with me. Say, the palace was in his future. So God anointed him and in essence brought the position of authority to be king on the inside of him before he was ever king. So when he faced Goliath, one of the things that kicked in was just not him being rambunctious or ambitious. No. He literally walked in authority. How did David know? Because when he stood before Saul, he said, King Saul, I can take him. Right? Bruce translation, you challenge it with a word. King, don't worry about it. Your fears, don't worry about it. Your concerns, don't worry about it. Your servant is here. I'll take him. That's pretty confident. But then he later said, the king, the God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will be the same God who will deliver me from the hand of this giant. He will be as one of these. Come on, now stick with me. What was David? David wasn't confident in his ability to go to war. David was confident in the ability of God to go to war for him. That's why he could stand before Goliath and said, you have defied the armies of the living God. And this day, the world will know that there is a God in heaven who fights for Israel. What? Why was he so confident? Because what God had deposited on the inside of him beforehand was working on the inside to help him break through. It was the anointing of the future kingdom that was already operating. I'm talking to somebody today. I'm telling you, I'm talking to someone who's a future leader, future business owner, future ministers, future, I'm talking successful people that have conquered their known world. Why? Because God will deposit it on the inside of you so that when you face those challenges, you don't have to look back. You can look within what God is doing because what's ahead of you is now on the inside of you. God places his destiny, his desires. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll place his desires on the inside of you. That didn't say delight yourself in God, and all of a sudden, everything you had a desire for will happen. No, we preach it that way sometimes, and that's not right. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will place his desires on the inside of you. He'll place your future destiny on the inside of you. It's called a desire.
Yes.
He could do that by an encounter with his presence, with a revelation of his word, with a vision, a dream, like he did with Joseph. He was imparting inside them their destiny. But the next verse to that says, commit your works to him, and he'll bring it to pass. Which means James says it this way, faith without works is dead. There's something you do. You catch the vision of where the season of where God's taking you, and when he awakens you to it, he's actually imparting it in you. See, when we're with arms are closed, I'm like, yeah, this church stuff. Well, that church stuff might be that church stuff for a lot of people, but not around here. This is the real deal for us. I don't really enjoy going to church. I just want to get out of here. Well, then you're not open to God. If you're not open to God, he can't impart anything into you. And if he can't impart anything into you, he can't show you where you're going because the impartation comes from the revelation as he shows you where he's going. It's that time you read that scripture and you're dealing with pain and all of a sudden the word comes alive that by his stripes you were healed. The revelation, not just an idea of someone said, well, my friend, don't you know Jesus still heals today? Praise God, we know he does. But if it's not a revelation to you, you can't receive it because the Bible says that we inherit the promises of God through faith and patience. Faith comes out of a revelation from God. Faith comes by hearing God, hearing and hearing the word of God. See, if you're just getting mental information, and there's a church world out there filled with a lot of people with just mental information, they can quote the Bible, but the Bible's not changing their life. See, it should bring a change. Jesus said, and you shall know. I know we're talking to say, this is the hottest 8:30 service. Come on, somebody. Y'all are competing with the other two. I'm telling you what. That's what Jesus said, and you shall know the truth. And the truth will set you free. The truth within its own nature has power to bring freedom into your life. The things that would hold you out, hold you back, keep you out, try to take you down, the truth of God will set you free. But you have to know that truth. You have to come to an experience with truth, not having heard the truth, but to know the truth by experience. That's the word, to know it by experience, to come to that revelation. And when God gives you that revelation, he is imparting inside your spirit. He's imparting inside you your future. That's why he can look at Abraham and say, change your name to Abraham. Now you're a father of multitude. I see you now as a father. I don't have no kids. Well, you're looking on the outside. Let me impart onto the inside. Do you see those stars? That's the image I want you to see on the inside. When you forget what I'm doing on the inside. Say, God is doing something on the inside of you. Philippians said, it's God who's working on the inside of you, giving you the desire and the ability to do what pleases him. God is good. I'm just trying to do a quick review. We get all down another road. I'm trying to close this series out, and the Holy Spirit keeps bringing stuff up for you. Come on, somebody. And so we've been talking about God awakens us to our future. God awakens us, places desire in us, but it doesn't mean you have it immediately. You got to walk out the process. Faith and patience. We don't want the process. We want the faith by right now because faith is. And faith is means that you have it, but you have it on the inside of you yet before you have it on the outside of you. You have it in the realm of ownership by the realm of revelation before you have it in the physical world. But if you get it here, you can have it there. And if you get it here, no man can stop you. If you get it here, then he'll prepare a table for you while your enemies have to look on. Come on, somebody. If you get it here in your heart, Where the placement of Matthew 13, the placement of God's word goes into your heart. You'll come. I'm telling you, I remember the day that revelation came to, wait a minute, I don't have to make everybody like me because I'm not dependent. We're nice to everybody, but you know, people will manipulate you. And if you think that your future is based on just the right connection, that's the way the world works. But I'm telling you, if you got everybody against you, the Bible says you still have more for you. He can make a way where there is no way. What am I telling you? That your future is not dependent on someone just all of a sudden don't like you anymore and now you have no hope. No, no, no. Your hope's in God. God has a way of removing people to get out of your path. God has a way of allowing you to step over them. Come on, somebody. They have to wait upon the Lord to mount up. We're going to mount up a little higher so that stuff that used to stumble us won't even be in our way. We'll just walk right over. It's no big deal. See, the people that don't like you can't stop you. The people talking about you can't stop you. The people that try to host, if you understand it's coming out what God is doing on the inside of your heart, you can rise. Are you listening? I feel this in my spirit. I wasn't planning on saying this. Are you listening to me? You can rise out of any situation when you get the word in your heart. You can rise out of any situation when you get the word in your heart. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a praise right now. Hallelujah. We got to go somewhere. Hallelujah. Hey, we got times at the play, church. We got people to see, things to do. Come on. God has destiny in store for you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It might look dim, it might look grim, it might look like no light at the end of the tunnel, but I'm telling you, when you have no light, you have the light of God's truth that will shine. Your word, oh God, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I don't see anything working my way, your word will work it out for me. When I don't know what to do, I look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. I get into the word. Get into the word. I'm telling you, the word will bring you through. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And don't you know that it would be a tactic of the devil? Now, Paul says we're not ignorant of the devil's devices, but don't you realize it would be a tactic of the devil to try to convince you in the midst of a storm and battle that there is no way out, there is no hope, it'll never get better. You've missed your season, you've missed your opportunity, it'll never happen. Then you got to just go back with the word. That's what Jesus did. You got to begin to say what the word says. When the devil was throwing stuff at Jesus, he didn't analyze it, he didn't rationalize it, he repeated and responded with the word. We got to go back. And the Bible tells me that your promotion doesn't come from the east and west. Your promotion comes from God. God can promote you. He can lift you up. He can bring you to that place. Even if everybody is trying to fight you, I'm telling you that God will enable you. He can bring you through anything. Are you with me? You can rise. I don't know who this is for, but somehow I know it's for some. You can rise above and out of any situation when you get the word in your heart. Hallelujah. Say amen.
Amen.
And so we see that this process is a journey. God shows us where we're going. He brings the desire in our heart, starts us on the journey. Elisha was awakened to what he could be when he was just plowing, but he let go of where he used to be so that he can pursue what God called him to be. He had to begin to serve. It wasn't overnight that Elisha was aware of what God was doing and became what God called him to become. He had to serve. He had to work this process out. And we've talked about out of Matthew 13, the parable of the sower, sowing the word. That to me, in my opinion, I'll say it this way, those three conditions of the heart are great examples of the tactics of the enemy to keep you out. Because if you don't quit, he can't keep you out.
Right.
Did you hear me? Oh, I'm afraid the devil's going to take it from me. No, 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 he can't take it from you. He has to talk you out of it.
Right.
He has to get you to quit.
Yep.
See, if the word's not important, you're not open it, you won't receive it. What was the other one? Do you remember the other two? What was the other one? You're looking at me like we're not taking notes or anything, huh? Come on, Matthew 13. First one was the seed that was thrown on the wayside. You know what I mean? The place where it was close and looked like it, but not close enough because they weren't in it. It wasn't valuable to them. If you're not open to the things of God, if you're not open, if the word of God's not valuable to you, you can miss a miracle while the person sitting next to you receives a miracle.
Right.
Two people can walk out of a service and one say, man, that was the most anointed, powerful. Woo, I'm glad I came to church today. The next one says, man, I didn't get anything out of that.
Right.
What's the problem? Well, maybe it's our heart. What's the second one? Second one was the person, the seed came and he didn't have any roots. So when he embraced the word and the word started to work to produce a change, all of a sudden opposition caused him to give up. And we told you when opposition happens, when people talk about you, or when you're kind of offended, or when you're disappointed, or things not going your way, the devil will try to get you to go back to the old way.
Right.
I mean, it is not logical. But the devil doesn't work in the area of logic.
Come on.
Can you imagine Israel in slavery for over 400 years, praying for a deliverer, praying for God to set them free, and God sets them free by the demonstration of his power. And if you go back and look at the Old Testament, every miracle was actually head-to-head to one of their gods. God told Moses, you tell them this. Well, they didn't think it was possible because that was one of the gods they prayed to. Well, that didn't work. Next God, he defeated the first one, defeated the second one. They kept on thinking, oh, our gods aren't helping us. Our gods aren't helping us. The God of Israel is beating our gods until God wiped them all out. Just let them know. Then God sets them free. And you know what they still wanted to do? Some of them still wanted to go back. Maybe we should go back. Someone should have pistol whipped that guy right there and just shut him up. I'm telling you. Could have introduced Caney right there. I mean, right? Somebody should have just kicked him in his head. That was the dumbest thing. And people listen. Do you know, just because people are listening to a person doesn't mean the person's smart. They could be saying some stupid stuff. Are you with me? They literally contemplated maybe we should go back. Really? Do the scars on your back don't remind you of anything? Proverbs says a fool will return to his vomit.
Yeah.
Maybe I should, man, it wasn't a good life, but maybe I should go back. Do you remember what he was like before? Really? I'm talking to the dating people, not the married people. Too late now. Isn't that amazing? You break up with somebody because you know it's just not the will of God for you even to be dating them. And they are just messing, taking your life down the wrong road. And I don't know who I'm talking to. And all of a sudden, you finally get the boldness to do the right thing. And after the first couple months, you're starting to get lonely. And you're like, maybe it wasn't so bad. Really? Come on, we've all been there. We all dated. I remember saying, why did I break up with her and go back with him? Now I know why I broke up with her. She's crazy. She's crazy. You got to run sometimes. I'm telling you. It's amazing how we can go back. The pressures of life will try to bring us back.
Yeah.
Last but not least, we saw that there's the opportunities. The devil will try to create, we used last week, deflate gate opportunities. Things to cut corners, do things unethical. Because if the devil can't stop you, he'll try to move you too fast beyond your own grace
right.
of God.
Right.
It's also called the cares. Jesus said, and here's a scripture we're looking at. We got all that just for the, I'm going to stop doing the reviews. I'm getting too excited about my reviews. I can't even get into the. Matthew 6. You have your Bibles. This is an Amplified Translation. And Jesus is dealing with just the cares, problems, challenges. I need more money. Well, I mean, that's a care. I need more clothes. That's a care. Jesus dealt with that, right? This is the context of him even saying, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things are going to be added to you. We've heard that enough. But sometimes we didn't always understand that because we thought seek first God just meant that we prayed a prayer and said, oh, Jesus, you're number one. No, no, seek first the kingdom of God means seek how God does stuff. And when God wants things done. Because the wisdom of God will enable you to deal with any problems on the earth. That's why James says, ask for wisdom, because you need the wisdom of God. Seek how God does stuff.
Yeah.
Because we want to do our way and want God to bless it. God doesn't bless your way. God blesses his way.
Right.
If what you're doing for God is not being blessed, if what you're doing is not working for you, maybe you need to evaluate, God, am I doing it your way or am I doing it my way?
Right.
Don't shut me down. I'm going to sit down. I just hurt somebody's feelings. So in the context of this teaching, Jesus is talking, and he's given a perspective, and he wants us to say, he says, the Father understands what you need. Verse 26 of chapter 6. Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Yeah. Are you not worth more, much more than them?
Yeah.
Notice this. Your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Aren't you worth more than them?
Yeah.
So if your heavenly Father will keep feeding them, then he should keep feeding you.
Right.
He should take care of you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But now here's how it works, because we have to figure this out. Because he said, look at the birds, which means study, figure this thing out. I haven't seen a bird yet who sits in his nest, waits for a worm to fall out of heaven. Just saying. If you see one like that, and worms just fall out of heaven, and it sits there and waits for the, I mean, a baby bird might have its mouth open, sitting there waiting for the mama to feed it, right? But an adult bird doesn't do that. A mature bird doesn't do that. A mature bird doesn't do that.
Right.
If you see one, videotape it. We could get a lot of hits on YouTube. Extra stream of revenue for you. Look at the birds. Look at the birds of the air. Look at the birds not in the nest. Look at the birds in the air. A baby bird stays in the nest.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Look at the birds in the air. Look at the bird in its place of maturity. You can always say, well, look at that baby bird. It's just sitting there doing nothing, waiting for it to be fed. And that's how some Christians, they never get any farther. They come to church waiting to be fed. And you know who they are, because they never do anything. They never go anywhere. They never vow. They never give. They never serve. All they do is complain. I'm running out of time. I've got myself in trouble now. Look at the birds of the air. Look at the birds in a place of maturity. They're not sowing. They're not reaping. They can't even store for the future, yet your heavenly Father is feeding them.
Yes.
He don't drop. How does he feed them? He doesn't drop worms out of the sky. He expects them to be flying. He expects them to be operating in their God-given DNA. God wants you to do something. Faith comes out of obedience. Excuse me, faith comes out of the word of God, but a faith is an act of obedience. I'm hearing and I'm obeying. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord? Don't do what I ask you to do.
Come on.
There's instruction. God wants you to begin. God wants you to begin to serve. God wants you to begin to do. Now, serving doesn't mean that you're subservient to somebody. Serving means that you're seeing that what God has in you is for somebody else.
Right.
And God will use you to reach out to other people. Jesus said that the greatest amongst you in the kingdom, let him be a servant.
Come on.
We like being served. That kind of makes us feel important. God said, you want to be more important? See that your life is a funnel of what I can do through you.
Hello.
Yeah. Shout me down there. I know some of you are like,
right.
But they wouldn't let me teach a Bible study. If that's the only thing you can do, get somebody at work that's going through a hard time and start opening the word of God to them.
Right.
Do you know what? Too many some Christians, not in this church or this service, want to lead, but they want everything provided for them so they can lead. It's not how it works. We're moving on. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet our Heavenly Father keeps feeding them. How does he keep feeding them? First of all, they begin to do something, what they're designed to do, their purpose. Secondly, catch this, they begin to see something. They begin to see things. Did you catch this? The bird's vision is something. If we were at that height, we would never see what the bird can see. The bird's vision is different than our vision. The bird and the type of birds you go to, eagles can go really high, and yet they can see really far. And that's important because the Father gave them the ability to see so they can see the opportunity of his provision. I'm going somewhere with somebody today. See, we look for God to, oh, God, I need you to bless me. And we sit around waiting for somebody to knock on the door with a bag of groceries, and God can do that. But if you're sitting around for God to send somebody with a bag of groceries and money in an envelope that's unmarked bills, come on, somebody, that will pay off. You might not ever get there because you're looking for God to do it your way. God wants you to learn how he does it his way, and he will open up your vision to see the possibilities ahead of you. He will open up your vision to see the possibilities. And last but not least, he gives you the opportunity, the ability to seize. Can you imagine if you give the birds just the vision to see it? The ability to fly, to be in the position. The ability to see, but not the ability to get a hold of. No, he gives them the ability to get a hold of it. Redeem the time, the Bible says. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. Take advantage of the opportunities that God gives you. Not every opportunity, because we told you earlier that the tactic of the enemy is to give you opportunities that are not from God. So we got to figure out, because there, what you learned in phase two, when there's opposition, you have to carry that same tactic, because, are you listening to me? The rhythm of victory that comes out of phase two when you're in opposition is the rhythm that will bring victory in phase three. What is that rhythm? If you haven't been with us, we encourage you, get into the Word, get in the presence of God, get into the worship, get in, speak the Word, read the Word, saturate your time, your heart, because you need that, because that will strengthen you, that will dig deep the roots. But you know what? It doesn't stop there. And for some of us, we stop at that point. We'll learn how to get into the Word and allow the Word to bring us victory against the giants, but at that point, we stop. I got it from here, God. I got it from here, God. I don't need you anymore, Lord. Let me give you a couple scriptures. Galatians 3:3 says, are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? What God has ordered, the way you started, why are you trying to finish it the other way? Once you start getting blessed, that's not the time to stop reading the Bible.
Right.
Well, you know, we can't. That's not the time to stop going to church. Well, you know, things are going real well. We'll be back when we run into a problem. People who only come to church when they're in crisis are crisis management Christians, and they will never get ahead and become what God's called them to become, because they only see God, prayer, the Bible, and the anointing of God only for when they are in horrible situations. After that, oh, I'm feeling good. I don't need to go to church. No, you need to go to church more, because you want to get ahead and not keep dealing with the same problem you keep walking around. Philippians 1, verse 5 and 6 says, God, he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, 13, God is working in you, giving the desire and the ability. Here's the last verse I want to read, Galatians 6, 8. For he that sows to his own flesh, his lower nature, his sensuality, will from the flesh reap decay and ruin and destruction. But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. You can call it sowing, you can call it reaping. You know, before this, God put that verse, says, be not deceived. We all know it. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. What a man sows, he shall reap. We take that all the time, or typically in the church world, is money. And money's a part of it, but that's a small part of it. It's the investment of your rhythm.
Yeah.
The investment of your rhythm. Let me just say it this way. Keep Jesus involved in your life.
Right.
At the very beginning phase, make Jesus number one. Keep him involved in your life. Well, that makes sense. God showed me what to do, where to go. Second phase, when opposition, dig deep with the Word of God. Keep Jesus involved in your life. Okay? But when things are doing well, keep Jesus involved in your life. I'm telling you, I've seen people get blessed and all of a sudden get boats. Now they can't come to church anymore, because on the weekends they got to be at the lake. Come on. I've seen people, they're just serving God and they want to get married. Once they get married, well, you know, he's not really into that. We're having family time on Sunday. They don't go to church anymore. Do you know what happens to your marriage? You stop taking Jesus. When you take Jesus out of your marriage, you know where it's going? Come on, somebody. Because the same rhythm of what you did when you were in battle is the same rhythm you need to do even when you're in victory. Say, keep Jesus. Number one. Say, keep Jesus.
Keep Jesus.
Number one. Look to your neighbor and say, keep Jesus.
Keep Jesus.
Number one.
In the battles
and in the victories.
On bad days
and on good days. When I have a lot of cares,
when I have no cares,
I'm going to keep Jesus.
Number one.
I'm telling you, you need to read the Bible because it's a source of life. Not because you're looking for an answer to a big problem that's coming in 21 days. You need to read the Bible because it's a source of life.
Amen.
And in that rhythm, not just because you're having a problem, you're having a great day. Why are you reading the Bible? Because it's life.
Yeah.
I'm investing in the things of God, and from there I draw out life.
Amen.
Your investment, listen, the withdrawal from an investment is not immediate. So when you say, oh, but things are going good, I'm reaping life right now. You're reaping life from your prior investment. When you stop investing, your future is starting to dry up.
Right.
Keep reading the word. Keep spending time with God. Stay in the presence of God. Keep coming to church. Keep doing what God's called you to do. And you will keep drawing life regardless of the season around you.
Amen.
You'll eventually become, you'll see, you can start becoming a thermostat instead of a thermometer. Your life doesn't have to be defined by surrounding things. So everything you talk about is just things you can't control. No, you're in a position of bringing change
Amen.
Into your world. Amen?
Amen.
Say one more time. Keep Jesus.
Keep Jesus.
Number one.
Number one.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise for God.